Hello, my name's Barry. I'd like to welcome you to Christianity Explained podcast. And today is going to be a very interesting discussion for you, and I think you'll enjoy. The topic is how to hear God's voice through the pages of Scripture, how to hear His voice in the Bible itself. And I'm designing this podcast for those of us who are kind of like on a beginning level, or somebody who, I want to be able to read the Scripture, but oh my God, it's intimidating. Hey, I want to have some fun with you and give you some very helpful insight. And some of this I had to gain while reading Peter Greig, Greig's book. And it's How to Hear God's Voice, a guide for normal people. You know, those of us who are not theologians and people expounding the word like pastors and all that fun stuff. Yes, you and I, a lowly layman, can actually hear, are invited to hear what God is saying through the Scripture, and it's not the mystery, and it's actually a lot easier. Well, let's put it this way, folks. You, and I mean you, the person listening, will have a much easier time than I did when I was a kid in the 70s. Yes, I'm that old. All right, let's have some fun. First, we need to provide a little background, which will answer the question about how do I discover God in the word, in the Scripture, especially considering it's like, for most people, reading a book can be challenging. And I'm just talking about a regular novel, never mind the Bible. Well, it would probably help if you knew one particular key fact. Do you know that the Bible is actually 66 books? And I say book kind of loosely. Here's why. First, you have the history section, which are easily 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Samuel, Judges, those guys. One, Genesis is more like, hey, this is how it began. This is Moses giving us insight of how we get into this mess. This is our history with God. This is what's going on. This is our understanding of how He created things. All right? That is important. In fact, I'm going to give you another little insider tip. The book of Genesis was not written like a science book. So I was not expecting Moses, the Holy Spirit, who is guiding Moses and instructing him what to write and giving him the insight. Somehow I don't think the Lord's going to be saying, okay, Moses, I'm going to start talking to you about astrophysics and tell you about galaxies and have you go stare at me like I'm a freaking idiot. Really? No, He kept it simple and easy for the people of that time. Not the people in the 21st century. Keep that part in mind when reading. Yet it is God's account of what He did when He created the heaven and the earth. It is His point of view of what He's sharing and sharing what has happened that led up to all this stuff that's going on. That's what's going on. That's the important part. It's also where God introduces to us the relationship that He entered into with Abraham and what that was about. In simple English, Genesis was all about beginnings. And it ended up with the beginning of what led up to the situation in Exodus. That's all it is. But we're not to read those history books like, okay, like we would a poem. It's not a poem. In fact, there's a whole bunch of poems actually written both within some of the various books of the Bible, but also specifically with the Song of Solomon, which is a very erotic, romance poem, and it's also a song. Those the Psalms. It's actually a poetic psalm, poetic singing is really what that is. Leave it to the King James English to make it sound so poetic. To our ears in modern English, it's kind of like, okay. But it all speaks to how we worship the Lord, how and who he is, and gives revelation. I don't know, as you can guess, but I am excited about sharing about God's word. I'm excited about all this stuff but I need to keep remembering, you may not be there, but I want to encourage you to be excited. And yes, there's also those letters that Paul and Peter and John and James and Jude wrote. Plus some letters and I guess what ended up being a tome or whatever the heck it would have been called, the Book of Revelation. That's, are you getting the idea that a diversity of style books? So you can't pick up the Bible and say, okay, I'm going to read it like a novel. That's kind of what I did when I was a kid. I just read it like a regular book, thinking, okay, of course there were things that had me go, okay, whatever. And some things, like in Job, I'm reading, I'm like, I want to see the place you store that you're talking about. I want to see all this thing. Because I was excited by what I was reading. And it was like, yes, as a kid, I was. And there are some wonderful things that I have no idea what the heck was being talked about. And that's the other thing. But we need to approach the scripture like little children who don't know and aren't reading a whole bunch of preconceived notion and that. They're just like, oh, I want to just read. I just want to enjoy. That's great. That's a good starting point. Here's the next part. And this is going to ruffle certain feathers. And frankly, I don't mind. Did you know that the Bible was not written in King James English? No. No. You're kidding me. No, I kid you not. It was written in ancient Aramaic and Hebrew for the Old Testament and Greek for what we call the New Testament. All that stuff is important. Was how did that relate to hearing the voice of God through the scripture? Well, let's put it this way. Some time ago, I would read a passage of 2 Samuel chapter 5 where David and his men went to take on Jerusalem. And I was kind of puzzled at what the heck the Jebusite commander was talking about. What do you mean? See, the problem was, when I read the passage, yeah, it sounds spectacular, except it would have helped if I knew that this city was actually a mountain citadel. It's a small city seated in the middle of seven mountains, and it was very impregnable. It was not an easy feat to take on that city, especially if you only have a small number of army. That's why that commander was looking at David's men like, you got to be kidding me! You're going to take this city with that? I can just send the blind out and let them kick your butt because they can easily defend it. That's why he said that. Yes, it sounded prideful. Yes, it sounded arrogant. But the reality was, he had good reason to be prideful. Okay? It wasn't like it wasn't like he was smoking pot. And I found this out through reading Josephus when he gave an account of that. He, unlike some commentaries, actually said, hey, I'm talking to you guys in Rome. You've never been here, so you probably have no clue as to what's going on. Here, let me fill you in. It's a mountain city that's well fortified and protected by these mountains. So there was good reason. And yeah, there's a reason why your commander Titus had to have that huge force to take on Jerusalem back in 70 AD. Because it needed a very large army. And what David had wasn't large. And as a result, it was a lot, once I understood, it became easier to understand that, wow, this really was God's doing. It was like, wow, so much more when you have some cultural background. And that's one of the things I suggest getting. And by the way, you don't have to run out and buy. See, this is one of the things you guys get to have an advantage over me back from when I was younger. Today, we can go online and read for ourselves what Josephus wrote back in 90-some-odd AD or whatever, whenever it is he wrote it. We can go online and read for free a whole bunch of commentary that will fill us in on what was going on at that time and tell us about the cultural background and give us some insight into what the land looked out like and clue us in to some of the stuff that are happening. Because frankly, when you read the scripture, yeah, you are reading an alien culture. It's alien because it's Middle Eastern. I'm taking for granted. It's like me talking about Western cultures and Western everything. And some poor soul in the Middle East, it's like, okay, hey, let me know when you want to talk my language so I can kind of have a clue as to what the heck you're talking about. Well, guess what? The shoe is on the other foot for us. We're reading Middle Eastern cultures. They would know and recognize exactly what's going on where we are kind of like, that's why it helps. But you don't have to despair. There are great free online material. I go a lot of times to Blue Letter Bible website, and I can find out about the culture. I can find out about a lot of things. You could do the same thing. You could go as deep as I did at some time, or no. Just get some commentaries, insight. Here's another value to doing things like that. There's a scripture in the infamous scripture from 2 Corinthians, chapter 14. Yeah, the dreaded one about women being silent in church. When Paul wrote that instruction, they understood exactly what he was talking about, okay? They understood what Priscilla or whoever was preaching, delivering the message from Paul was saying. And I got news for you. If it was Priscilla, she wouldn't have been offended. Why? Because she would have known what the heck was being talked about. It's not this over here, so it must be, No wonder that guy with that scripture on the back of his truck was derided like an idiot. He obviously didn't know. Now, what the heck did that scripture mean? How did it relate? Here it is. As I said before, I looked at the surrounding scripture. This is what's called exegesis. You examine the surrounding scripture that the scripture that surrounds the particular verse you're interested in, and you ask some questions like, okay, who's doing the talking? In this case, who's doing the writing? What is going on that prompted this statement? It sounds a little weird to our modern ear. Yeah, it does sound weird. And I'm going to answer the reason why it sounds weird in just a second. Why did he feel the need to say, hey, you need to have some order in this church? What was happening? Those surrounding scriptures would have answered that part of the question. Because it was the Corinthian church were very chaotic in the way they did service, or what we would call service today. And that was what was happening. Well, Paul said something that would have sounded very weird to our ear, and here's why. Back in those days, men would sit on one side of the church, of what we would call the church building, and the women would be sitting in their own section, separate from the men. Well, and I'll give you an added caveat. Apparently, according to some people I found out, some women weren't even allowed in the synagogue. They had to sit outside. So guess what? That favorite pastor, that favorite whoever, might be saying something, and she's going, wants to learn. Actually, the Lord and Paul had no problem with women learning. In fact, it probably would help if a lot of them had the scroll in front of them where they could read. But here's the thing, here's the other deal. A lot of women in those days, it was very rare to have a woman like Priscilla who could read and tell you what something is said. In those days, that wasn't the case. So, yeah, it was perfectly natural for women to go, hey, honey, what is that thing he's talking about? What the heck did Isaiah say in chapter 51? What? Oh, okay. They had to speak up loud. Because that was the only way the husband could hear. And it was the only way the husband could talk to the wife to tell him. It was very disruptive. It wasn't wrong for the women to learn. Paul wasn't telling them, oh, women not allowed to learn. He actually said, even in that scripture, hey, wait till you get home, then you can ask your husband. Okay? I understand. Oh, and I came across somebody comment about that. Let me ask you this. Do you really think that those ladies who probably were sitting next to that single woman, you really think that they were such jerks that they wouldn't have kind of known that, hey, I have a single woman who's sitting next to me who would like to know the scripture. She doesn't have a husband. Let me invite her over and she could learn from my husband. Hello? By the way, that's called a community. That's what fellowship is. Oh, I bet you don't hear that one too often. But see, that's the exciting part. You learn. There's a lot of mysteries and things, and I discovered these things. And here's the other part, and this is the next part, which is, how does it apply? Because a lot of times, yeah, it sounds great. Okay, I'm reading about this letter that Paul wrote, the thing that he said, or what Jeremiah, whatever. It sounds archaic to us. It's perfectly natural to say, Father, how does this apply to me? That's a perfectly reasonable question to ask. It's legitimate because if the scripture is meant to instruct us in the way of righteousness, then you and I have every right to ask, how does this apply in my situation? Lord, what do you want me to learn here? What information do you want me to gain? What correction I need? So yes, application is very important so that you can and I can grow in understanding what the way of God is. And I say that firmly because I had a guy who got uppity because I wasn't looking for the deeper meaning. I was saying, how did that apply to me? So I'm not sure if there is someone like that, but yeah, it's okay. And it's okay that you want to go a little deeper and say, Father, is there any other meaning? That's probably from Jeremiah chapter 33, where the Lord is saying, ask me, and in that day you will ask me, and I will show you great and mighty things. You know, the Lord wants to show, God wants to show us wonderful things that we have no clue about and reveal wonderful hidden treasures within the scripture itself. And part of that means communicating. And he wants to talk with his children. He wants to reveal and have the children marvel and go like, whoa! I want to encourage you not to be afraid, to take the Lord up on that offer. But let's not be like the Pharisees of old who Jesus had to rebuke them and say that you guys search the scriptures for eternal life, but you fail to understand that these very scriptures testify about me. That's in John chapter 5. Well, sorry, folks, it's a little hard for me to do that. But I wrote the blog post, and I will include that for you to read for yourself. It's kind of challenging to do this on an audio podcast. But I want to encourage you to study the scriptures, to actually ask the Lord questions. It's okay that you don't know. It's okay that you can't. That's fine. Ask him. He knows what was written. It's his spirit that guided all these various writers and directed them what to put in. And that's good. That means, okay, I'm going to ask, Lord, what was this about? What was happening? I can tell you, there have been times where I did ask, especially when some of this did relate to the culture. And the Lord either gave me a direct answer, or more likely, he put in my heart to hop on Blue Letter Bible site or the Bible Hub and do a little digging. And I found out. That's how I learned about some of this stuff. That's also where I learned some of the other things, amazing things that I'm discovering. It's like amazing. And I want to encourage you. I pray and I'm hoping that my excitement that you're hearing through this encourages you to go digging, because the Lord wants to take you on an adventure. He wants to take you on an exciting ride down a whitewater path or something, so that you will like have fun, like discovering. Don't be afraid to listen to audio Bible and pause it and say, Lord, what do you want me to gain? What is your spirit saying to me? Now, I do have to mention one part that Peter Gregg does mention in his book is the need to slow down and ask and invite the Holy Spirit to come and show us these things and prepare our heart to receive what God is saying and what he may want to say. And it may be different than what you think. And I need to, I do need to share on the danger of what lens you're reading. Because depending on how you see the Word of God will influence how you interpret the information. And it doesn't matter if you're exegetical or not, your bias will influence you one way or the other. And that's, and I have seen that before in many of the debates I've seen raging on YouTube and on the internet and elsewhere. Let's put aside our biases and our assumption of what the scripture says. Okay, we're not the author. He is. Let's say, Father, I gladly put aside my bias and my opinion. I do have them, and some of it based on what I understand and know. And I'll give you a great case in point, tattoos. Boy, have I gotten an earful about that one. And no, I'm not interested in tattoos. I had to ask the Lord, Father, what the heck was going on here? Why did you feel a need to say what you did in Leviticus? It makes no sense, especially in light of what how it's done here. I asked, and guess what? He pointed me to people who could provide some real answers. And I found out that, okay, how it's being used there, yeah, it made sense. And was able to differentiate the way it's used, and both in the good way and the wrong way. The Lord just didn't want people to get wrapped up in idolatry and in things that really was not good. Putting a little butterfly or a music note on your shoulder blade is not wrong, okay? Really? Let's put a stop to the bull and start actually seeing what God is saying. Instead of criticizing the person and saying, oh, I want to put a Lion of Judah so that I would feel bold. Instead of opening up our mouth and saying negatively, say, do you know that you, if you know the Lord and His Spirit is in you, you already have a boldness that is in you. All you have to do is ask. You don't, and He'll make you bold. It's not the tattoo that's going to make you bold. The Holy Spirit that's in you. You see what I did? I just used the tattoo as a door of opportunity to share a good news that's within the scripture. And by the way, that's in Acts chapter 4, where the early church asked the Lord for boldness. Holy boldness to proclaim the word and not be intimidated by the leaders of Israel at that time. So, yes, it's okay. But just make sure you're not putting something that is satanic or other garbage that represents death or whatever. That's what you shouldn't. How did I discern that? I read the scripture. Look at the context, ask questions. What the heck was going on here? I know what my opinion is, because based on what I know, Lord, can you help me so that I may be lined up with what you're saying and have a better understanding? And He will. Yeah. But after all, He does say in His words, He had predestined us to be conformed into His image, and to have, well, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you already have the mind of Christ, but you become more and more aware of it, and it's a learning process. So I want to invite you to engage in the scripture, engage, learn, spend time with it. All right. Hey, I want to thank you for your time. I probably spoke it's not unwarranted, because I actually am excited. And I hope you understand and will join me on the adventure of reading. Have a blessed day, and see you when I see ya.
Thank you.